Imagine a disease so devastating it has claimed over 1 billion lives in 2 centuries, approximately 1/7 of all humans who have ever lived. Now imagine we've had the tools to prevent these deaths for decades, yet still allow over 1 million people to die from it annually. This is tuberculosis, a disease that kills more people than malaria, typhoid, and war combined. In 1804, even James Watt, the genius behind the Industrial Revolution, watched helplessly as his son Gregory died from consumption. A century later, my great-uncle Stokes met the same fate in an Asheville sanatorium. The tragedy? Unlike in Watt's time, we now possess the knowledge and medicine to prevent these deaths. As Ugandan physician Dr. Peter Mugenyi observed about similar life-saving medications, the drugs are where the disease is not, and the disease is where the drugs are not. TB isn't just a bacterial infection. It's both a form and expression of injustice, following the trails of inequity that we blazed for it. At Laca Government Hospital in Sierra Leone, I met Henry, who I mistook for a staff member's child due to his familiarity with everyone. He showed me around the wards, poorly ventilated buildings with barred windows where emaciated patients lay. I later learned Henry was actually 17, his growth stunted by malnutrition and TB. In his memoir, Henry described Laca as a place where hope and despair intertwined, where basic necessities were scarce. The hunger accompanying TB treatment was particularly cruel. Patients dreamed of eating anything, even mud and sticks. Despite 3 daily meals, inadequate nutrition led some to abandon treatment. Unlike many abandoned patients, Henry had his mother, Isatu, who visited and brought extra food. Tuberculosis shaped history in unexpected ways. John B. Stetson created the iconic cowboy hat while recovering from consumption out west. TB influenced New Mexico's path to statehood. Congress accepted the territory only after it attracted more white, English-speaking residents by marketing itself as a haven for consumptives. By 1910, TB patients made up 10% of New Mexico's population, helping secure statehood in 1912. TB even played a role in World War I's catalyst. 3 young consumptives, Nijelko Cabrinovich, Trifko Grabez, and Gavrilo Princip, knowing their disease was terminal, joined the plot to assassinate Archduke Franz Ferdinand. After an initial failed attempt, Princip succeeded when the Archduke's driver took a wrong turn. All 3 conspirators died from tuberculosis before the war's end. Consumption was romanticized as a disease that enhanced feminine beauty. Its symptoms, pale skin, thinness, rosy cheeks, and wide sunken eyes, became idealized beauty standards. Charlotte Bronte even called it a flattering malady as her sister was dying. This consumptive chic influenced art and fashion, exemplified in Henry Peach Robinson's Fading Away, 1858. Women deliberately mimicked the look, using belladonna to dilate pupils and rouge to simulate fever's flush, beauty standards that partially persist today. As living conditions improved for the wealthy, tuberculosis became predominantly associated with industrial poverty. The disease revealed itself not as a mark of civilization, but as a consequence of overcrowded factories and tenements. Robert Koch's 1882 identification of Mycobacterium tuberculosis transformed understanding completely. His discovery changed tuberculosis from a romantic affliction into a bacterial infection, shifting its perception from a flattering malady of white intellectual classes to a disease of poverty and marginalization. Tuberculosis exemplified racialized violence, particularly in indigenous residential schools, where death rates reached 8% annually due to deliberate neglect. Today, Inuit people remain 400 times more likely to contract TB than white Canadians. The disease disproportionately affects marginalized populations due to systemic inequalities, not biological factors. white physicians wrongly blamed racial characteristics for higher TB rates among black Americans, while black doctors like Dr. A. Wilberforce Williams correctly identified the real causes: racism-driven poverty, overcrowding, malnutrition, and limited healthcare access. The stigma of TB creates a burden often worse than the disease itself. Patients report preferring cancer diagnoses due to TB's social shame. Communities frequently attribute the disease to divine punishment, poverty, or supernatural causes, further isolating sufferers. TB survivors worldwide face severe social rejection. Children are abandoned at hospitals, while adults face community ostracism. As one survivor expressed, "To them, I am not a person." Henry's story offers a contrast through his mother Isatu's steadfast support, which he captured in a poem about her staying close when everyone ran away. Understanding tuberculosis' airborne transmission sparked widespread public health changes. America banned public spitting, while concerns about germs influenced fashion choices, from beard styles to women's hemlines and home modifications like window screens. Sanatoria became central to treatment, with America housing 536 facilities and 673,000 beds by 1925, rivaling all other hospital capacity. Patients followed strict regimens of rest, sunshine, and fresh air in prison-like institutions. The 1940s brought real progress. X-rays enabled early detection, pioneered by Dr. Alan Hart, while the BCG vaccine helped protect children. The introduction of antibiotics, streptomycin, para-aminosalicylic acid, isoniazid, and pyrazinamide finally made TB curable. By the 1950s, mortality dropped 90% in wealthy nations, though poor countries continued to struggle with pre-antibiotic death rates. In the 1990s, the WHO deemed MDR-TB treatment too expensive for poor countries at $15,000 to $20,000 per patient. Dr. Paul Farmer argued that not treating MDR-TB was costlier, as untreated cases spread disease and resistance. Partners in Health proved this by achieving 85% cure rates treating MDR-TB patients in impoverished Lima with comprehensive support. Their success led the WHO to recommend DOTS Plus strategy for MDR-TB care within 2 years. This sparked a transformation in TB treatment economics. Treatment costs fell from $15,000 to $1,500 per patient, while TB survivors like Fumeza Tosile advocated for affordable drugs. By 2023, the NTB trials showed 90% of MDR-TB cases could be cured for about $300, a dramatic 98% reduction from 1990s costs. Henry's story exemplifies these virtuous cycles. After starting his new medication regimen, he showed remarkable progress. The open sores from his ruptured lymph nodes began healing, like magic, according to Dr. Jerome. After over 3 years of hospitalization, Henry finally returned home, the happiest moment of my life, his mother later recalled. Despite continuing struggles with poverty, Isatu found joy in her son's survival. "I look at you and you are alive. My son Henry is alive." After recovering, Henry returned to school, gained university admission, and became a TB activist. Through YouTube videos, he fights stigma, documents life in Freetown, and fundraises for Laka Hospital. His work shows both the constraints of his community and its joy and connection. Unlike in 1804, when James Watt couldn't save his son Gregory, we now have the knowledge to prevent TB deaths. Our deadliest infectious disease remains preventable and curable. That's the world we're currently choosing.